time and always there for us if we'll just do what we're supposed to do, and that's just be obedient to Him and His Word. Go with me to the book of Psalms, Psalm chapter 9, and let's go to verse 17 here. Psalm chapter 9, verse 17 says this, "The wicked shall be turned into hell." How many knows that? The wicked will be turned into hell. But look what the rest of that says. "And all the nations that forget God." Come on now. See, we need, when we read the Word, we need to read it all. We need to get all the understanding. We could just stop there and talk about the wicked, you know. We could just lay it on them. But it goes on and says, "And all nations that forget God." Amen. He goes on and he says this, "For the needy shall not always be forgotten. The expectation of the poor shall not perish forever. Arise, O Lord, let not man prevail. Let the heathen be judged in thy sight. Put them in fear, O Lord, that the nations may know themselves to be but men." Notice that. Now, the psalmist is, he's telling us, he said, listen, not only are the wicked going to hell, but all the nations that forget God. And then he goes on and he says, "Lord, just go ahead and show them that they are just men and that you're God." You see, here's the thing, church. We've got to remember where we come from and where we're going. Come on. See, when I start looking around and I see, and I see our nation in the place it's at, and I see the church even in the place where it's at, it seems like people are forgetting where they came from. Come on. We're forgetting that our nation was based upon Christian values. Amen. And we have to stay with those Christian values if we want to remain a nation. Come on, we can say amen to that. That's just the way it is. Now you can, you know, I know there's a lot of folks, we do have freedom of religion in this nation, and there's a lot of religions in this nation, but there's only one true Christianity. There's only one true way to heaven, and that's through Jehovah God by believing in His Son, Jesus Christ. Anything else is a false religion. Amen. And I know that's not popular with a lot of people because they want to be politically correct and they don't want to go against, you know, the grain. But, you know, as a child of God, you and I have to know that there's only one God. Amen. He's the Lord God. He's the one we worship, right? But see, as the world tries to forget that He's God, I mean, you think about it for just a second. I'll just get back there for just to get on a little soapbox here. They don't fight against other religions. Have you noticed that? People are not protesting against other religions. Right? They're not. I mean, when's the last time you seen them go against the Jehovah's Witnesses and start marching in the streets and stuff? No, it's just Christianity. Because there's only one real God. And there's a real devil in the world. And he hates the one real God. And so he works through people to come against God and His people. Amen. So he's using people to try to, if the world had their way, and truthfully, if a lot of folks in the United States had their way, they'd do away with God in the United States. They've already tried to do away with God in the schools and that kind of thing. You see what that's brought. Come on now. You know, the truth is the world's trying to do away with common sense. Come on, just common sense things, you know. And so they're trying to forget God, but the Bible's very plain and says the nation that forgets God's going to be turned into hell. But can I tell you something? The person that forgets God is going to be turned into hell. So not only as a nation do we need to understand where we came from and where we're going, but we as individuals, we need to understand where we came from and where we're going. Come on. You were wonderfully made, God. Every one of us were made of God. Come on now. Man has been trying to create life ever since man's been on the earth, and they can't create life. Only God can create life. Come on, they try to imitate God. They try to take God's components and try to do something. But you see, you can't start from nothing and end up with life. But God did, and He's still doing it. Amen. And so we've got to remember that we came from God. God told yourself in the womb, "I knew who you were." God knew you before you was formed in the belly of the womb. You came from God. Now, where are you going? Come on, that's how we read God. Where are we going?
Are we going to be like victims turned to hell? Or are we going to go back to God? Come on. I don't know about you, but my man's going to heaven and be with the Lord forever and ever and eternity. Amen. So Jesus starts one here, and he says, just go ahead and show them up. They're not God, they're just men. Some folks actually are higher than God. Some folks think they're more important than God. But I want you to know, son, he is God. And with a snap of his finger, he can wipe out all of humanity. He can do it. He won't because he loves us. But good. There are men that oppose God and God. And he says, those that forget me, they're going to be turned to hell. So I want to say, as children of God, under some, we've got to be first and foremost in our life. Here's what he says in John chapter 15, verse 5. He says, I'm vine, and you're the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Notice that. We must have God in our life. Just before you with me to Job, the book of Job. I want to show you something here in chapter 8. Job chapter 8. Let's jump up to verse 11. Now this is one of Job's friends that talked to him. Verse 11. He says, can the rush grow up without mire? Can the flag grow without water? While it is yet in its greenness and not cut down, it withereth before any other herb. So are the paths of all that forget God, and the hypocrite's hope shall perish, whose hope shall be cut off, and whose trust shall be a spider's web. He shall lean upon his house, but it shall not stand. He shall hold it fast, but it shall not endure. He is green before the sun, and his branch shooteth forth in his garden. His roots are wrapped about the heap, and seeth his place of the stones. If he destroy him from his place, then it shall deny him, saying, I have not seen thee. Behold, this is the joy of his way, and out of the earth shall others grow. Behold, God will not cast away a perfect man, neither will he help the evildoers, till he fill thy mouth with laughing and thy lips with rejoicing. They that hate thee shall be clothed with shame, and the dwelling place of the wicked shall come to naught. Now, over in the New Living Testament, it brings this out just a little bit clearer. I want you to see what it says there. Let me just read it for you. It says, can papyrus reeds grow tall without a marsh? Can marsh grass flourish without water? While they are still flowering, not yet ready to be cut, they begin to wither more quickly than grass. The same happens to all who forget God. The hopes of the godless evaporate. Their confidence hangs by a thread. They are leaning on a spider's web. They cling to their home for security, but it won't last. They try to hold tight, but it will not endure. The godless seem like a lush plant growing in the sunshine, its branches spreading across the garden. Can I just stop there a second? Doesn't that sound like the world? In other words, he said, it looks really pretty, looks real good, looks like it's flourishing. See, that's the trick of the enemy. It's not that way, but let's go ahead and read on. Its roots grow down through a pile of stones. It takes hold on a bed of rocks. But when it's rooted, it's as though never from the earth to replace it. But look, God will not reject the wicked. He will once again do the mouth of laughter. The shame and the home of the wicked will be destroyed. He says, we've got to have our roots in the way. And who's in the problem? Well, that's somebody that's following after God. We're going to perish. No, if we're not rooted and grounded in God. Come on now. We're talking about being rooted and grounded in God. We're not putting our life, God first in our life. I want you to think about it for just a minute. Now, then we'll talk about this just a little bit. In Psalm 78, Simone and Jacob, and appointed a law and made it known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments. Now, notice that. And might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright, and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. Note what he's saying here, church, is that we're tested. He says, God said this thing would teach our children. If we're not teaching our children, just and already had notes, I already knew what I was preaching on, not that this generations were astonishing of those that and certain amount of the millennials. Because we are turning away people, because they're turning more and more away from God, and the children's children are not hearing about God. Yes. You see, and so what's happening is, sure, they know who God is, but God's not first in our life. There's more to teaching than just saying words. Come on now. The way you teach your children is by example. Come on, think about it for a minute. Now, we should be teaching our child the way he should go, and he's old, he'll not depart from it. children. It's more than just telling them, teaching them what to do.
Amen.
You know, we can tell them, but if we're not good, you know, we can tell them, you know, we're supposed to, right? Come on now. See, here's the thing. You can say what you want to. I mean, you know, a lot of Christians are like, probably they're one thing and there's something else. Right? Yeah. Come on, see, I got one or two, yeah. But it's to God, and they're on the way to heaven, but they can't even make it to say they would die for Jesus, but they can't get out of bed for Jesus. Here's the thing I'm trying to help us to understand, is how much more is our children going to forget about God and want to stay home?
Come on now. And it's been this way all along. I mean, ever since I've been pastor anyway. Parents make their kids go to school, but they won't make their kids go to church because they say, well, you know, I just don't think it's right now to make them go if they don't want to. Are you kidding me? You want to let them go to school and get indoctrinated with everything in the world, but you don't want to make them come to church where they hear the truth? No wonder we're losing our kids. No wonder we're losing our society. It's because we've slowly walked away from God, and with our walking away, then that puts our kids that much farther away from God. Come on. I heard Pastor Parsley say one time, and I don't know if I get exactly right, but he talked about the fact that we started out with a strong conviction. We're convicted, and we know for sure that He's God. But then the next generation comes along with a persuasion. They're persuaded that there is a God and He's important. But then the next generation, because those are only persuaded, the next generation has an opinion about whether there's a God or not. And then the fourth generation don't even have an opinion. They don't care. They've just forgotten about God. You see, and that's what's happened to us. We've allowed ourselves to slip, and in our slipping, we're losing our children. Amen. We're losing them because we want them to be popular, and we want them to have these things and that thing, you know. And the most important thing they can ever have is Jesus in their life. That's what we ought to be teaching them. So, you know, you can't say that you're for God when your actions are contrary. You know, you can't say you're for God and don't come to church on Sunday. Amen. I know this is a little tough, but I'm telling you, we are in growing up in such a powder puff society. I mean, you just look at somebody wrong and their feelings are hurt. Right? Come on now. You know, times are just so much different. I mean, when I was growing up and in school, if you got whipped by the teacher, you got whipped when you got home, too. Because they wouldn't have whipped you in school if you hadn't done something wrong, and so they'd just whip you again. Now, if a child was to get reprimanded at school, don't have to get a whipping, because you can't let them have one anymore. Poor little things, bless their little heart. Might affect their mentality or something, you know, mess them up mentally. If they get jumped onto or a teacher says something to them, then the parent's up there in their face. Why are you jumping onto my child? I got a good child. Yeah, right. In your opinion. Come on, don't get mad at me because I'm preaching good now. You guys know well as I do, your kids are angels as far as you're concerned. But when it comes to something else, right? Come on now. Yeah. When they get away from you, that's when they act up, okay? That's when they do their thing. And if you don't think your kid does, man, they have really got you snowed over. Amen. That's not to say we don't have some good kids, but I'm just saying as a majority, you've got to remember back when you were a kid. Right? Would you want your kid to be like you were? Or would you rather keep them a little closer to Jesus? Amen. So. It says that God established His law. God established a testimony. And He established it with Jacob, which is Israel. And He wanted them to know the law of God. But not only them to know the law of God, but teach their children. So that their children could teach their children. And right on down the line, you see, so that they would not forget God. Look in the Word. And I challenge you, anywhere you go in the Word, when you find out that the children of Israel strayed away from God, you'll find that they ended up either in bondage, in deep trouble, in despair. They were always, without God, a mess. But as long as they followed God, they were blessed. And you see, that's the thing I don't understand is why it is that we walk away from God when that's where the blessings are. That's where life's at. Come on now. Oh yeah, everybody runs to God when there's trouble. You know, when 9/11 happened, the churches filled up. And as soon as they started feeling a little safe again, they were right back down. Why? Because they didn't need God anymore. They thought they might need Him through that time. And so we need to be teaching our kids at all times that, listen, I'm for God and I'm going to teach you about God, but I'm also going to teach you through my example. You'll see me at church on Sunday. You'll see me at church on Wednesday. You'll see me for special services because I put God first in my life and I want you to put God first in your life. Amen. That's what we ought to be teaching our kids, but I know that's not the popular thing because, you know, if your kid goes to church, then they don't fit in real good with the heathens. Well, I just go ahead and let them smoke dope with them, take drugs and whatever the heathen's doing. That way they can be popular with them. Is that what you want for your kid? No, you want them better, don't you? You want to teach your kid the right way. Come on, you want your kid to go to heaven. You want your kid to stay on the right track. He says you train them up in the way they go. I understand people, they have their own mind. But if we're teaching them right, then we as parents have done everything that we can do. Amen. And then we have to just trust God and give them over to God and pray over them and believe God with them. So we need to be training them up and making sure they're serving God. And we need to be serving God, not just acting like we're serving God. Jesus said to a group over in Luke 6:46, He said, "And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" Amen. Why are you calling me Lord if you're not going to go to church? Why are you calling me Lord if you're not going to pray? Come on. Why are you calling me Lord if you're not going to read the Word? He got real quiet. Come on. That's all things that He told us to do, right? Amen. Pray without ceasing, right? Study to show yourself approved. Those are things that He told us to do. And if we say we love God, then we should be doing what He said for us to do. So we have to understand that our kids have to know. I'm going to jump over to Hosea, if you will, with me. Hosea chapter 4, listen to this. Hosea chapter 4, look at verse 6. My people, are we His people? Yes. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Notice that. Goes on and says, because thou hast rejected knowledge. So there's two things here. Sometimes you don't know, and sometimes you reject what you do know. That's what he's saying. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, listen, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing that thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. That's a strong indictment. He says when we're forgetting the law of God, then it's going to cause God to forget our children. Well, why is that? Because our children are supposed to learn from us. Right? But I want to read the next verse. We always read that much. But I want to read verse 7. Look what verse 7 says. As they were increased, so they sinned against me. Therefore will I change their glory into shame. Why were they forgetting the law of God? Let me give it to you in the Amplified Bible, verse 7. The more they increased and multiplied in prosperity and power, the more they sinned against me. Notice that. The more they increased, the more they forgot God. That sounds real familiar, don't it? We got to have God when we're broke, busted, and disgusted. Right? Where could I go? Oh, where could I go? Right? Where could I go but to the Lord? Because we're blessed, but right? But when things are going good, you know, if God gives you that job you've been wanting. The finances are coming in now. You finally got more than just enough to pay your bills. You got money now that you can enjoy yourself, do things, go out to eat, go on vacation. You get to buy the car you want now. Maybe buy the house that you want. Everything's going good. That seems to be the time when people begin to forget God. Because I'm doing pretty good for myself now, right? You forget that God gave all that to you. And if you forget that God gave it to you, how's your children ever going to know that God gave it to you? Amen. You see, it's our testimony. It's our teaching our kids, teaching other people how good God is to us. That's what's important. We need to make, especially our kids, come on. Somebody else don't want to listen, that's fine. But we should make our kids sit down and listen. Put away your device and listen to me for a minute. Come on, church. You know I'm telling the truth. We're raising a society. One of the things that they talked about, they had a younger person. One of the things that she was talking about with these that have turned away from God or not interested in church or stuff, they said they're not looking for religion. They're looking for relationship. And I thought to myself, if you're looking for relationship, you've got to put your phone down. Because you can't have a relationship with somebody on the phone. Come on now. I realize people think you can. I realize that. Right? But how many knows? People can be anybody they want to be on social media. Right? Bonjour. Right? Because everything is true on the internet. People even fake their pictures. You know, people go, this is my boyfriend. He's in another state, but you know, we got this long distance relationship, but we're going to get together. Mm-hmm. And all you got's a picture that he sent you. Right? Come on now. You see, people have fallen for that kind of stuff, and that's not a relationship at all. No. Relationship is when you come together and you know that person. Because I can say something over typing that you don't know what my intentions are. You know, for example, I could type, "Man, you're a good one." Right? Well, now you don't really know in what context I said that. Because I could have meant, "Man, you're really a good one." I could have meant, "Man, you're a good one, aren't you?" Right? Because you can't tell. Relationships need contact. Come on now. And we need to teach our kids, if they're going to make friends, they need to have friends that they really know. And they know each other. Right? Come on. Stephanie said it a few minutes ago about friends. Friends that get together and they love one another, help do anything in the world for one another, but then the next time you know, they're pulling each other's hair. Right? Fighting or whatever. That's what forms relationships. The good and the bad. Amen. But working through the bad is what really strengthens that relationship. Come on now. So we need to be teaching our kids these things. And these things are all biblical principles. What they're learning now from those screens, much of it is junk and trash. Come on now. What they're listening to is junk and trash. Amen. And so you as a parent, you need to be keeping up with some of that stuff. If you're going to teach them to love God, you need to get them away from some of that other stuff. You need to teach them what a real role model is. Not somebody that's just popular that runs around half naked on TV. And come on. It's time for the church to tighten up. It's time for us, if we're really putting God first, then we need to really put God first. Because without Him, Jesus said, you can do nothing. I want us to teach our kids. Thank God for our children's church. We have a great children's church and they're teaching them the Word of God over there. Amen. And they're also teaching them how to behave. Amen. They don't just let them do what they want to. And sometimes parents, you might get mad if your kid comes in and says, they said this to me and they did this. I promise you, if they said something to your kid or made them mind in some way, it's because they needed it. Don't matter how good a kid they are, come on now. If you don't think I'm telling you the truth, just pay your local school a visit. You don't have to go. Don't go in the classroom where your kid can see you. Just peek your head in there so you can see all the kids and watch them. Now, they're good kids, but kids will be kids. Right, teachers? My teachers that are in here, right? They'll be kids. And you know, some of the best kids, now they're well behaved or whatever, but you get them in a room group with a bunch of others that's not so well behaved, then they have to struggle too. Right? So we need to be making sure before our teachers get them that we've already got them lined out. Because it's not the teacher's job to line your kid out. Thank God for the godly teachers we have in this house. And I know every chance they get, they inject the Word of God to them. But they only got a little bit of opportunity. You've got a captive audience. They live under your roof. Come on. You say, well, I just can't do a thing with my kid. I promise you, when you start cutting off the phone, cut out the iPad, cut out the computer, you start cutting out that stuff, you'll get their attention. Oh, yeah, they're going to cry and act like you've killed them. Come on, us older, can't talk to the younger generation on this, but how about some of this older generation? When your mommy and your daddy one whipped you, did you not act like they'd just beat you to death? I'm using the death word. Come on now. We'd squall and scream and fall and carry on. Because what we was trying to do is get them to quit whipping. Because they didn't just hit you a lick or two. They whipped you. Come on. And you just act. What you was trying to do is make them feel sorry for you. Right? Come on now. Yeah. But see, that none of that goes on now. But what I'm trying to tell you is that they'll act like that you're just destroying their lives by taking away from their social media from them. I can't get to talk to any of my friends. Good. Go to your room, get your Bible, and have a little talk with Jesus. But you can't tell them to do that unless you're having little talks with Jesus too. See, and that's where things get real tough, because it's hard for us to tell our kids to do something we don't do. That's part of all the teaching. So, destroyed for a lack of knowledge. If our kids don't know, we're destroying them ourselves by not giving them the knowledge they need to succeed in the kingdom of God and in the world. Because I promise you, if you have God in your life, that's the building blocks to succeeding in the world. Putting God first in your life, that'll almost guarantee you success if you want to be successful. As long as you keep him first. Okay? Now, it says there in Hosea that as they increased and multiplied in prosperity and power, the more they sinned. Let me just say this. God's provisions are not so that we can become independent from him. Do I need to say that one more time? God's provision, his blessing, what he gives us, is not so that we can become independent from him or break away from him or forget him. No. His provisions, he is blessing and increasing us so that we can become a greater witness, a greater person in the kingdom of God for him. Right? He wants to bless you so that you'll be a witness of his goodness to the world. He doesn't want to bless you so you can separate yourself from him and say, look what I did. Because you have your reward, the Bible says, when you do that. I want to just one more scripture and we'll close this thing out. In Acts chapter 4, here, this is where the disciples, Peter and John especially, they're being questioned over healing the guy at the gate in Acts chapter 3. Remember the cripples there? He says, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I unto thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And the guy goes leaping, jumping into the temple, and everybody's seen him, and they're all freaking out now, especially the religious leaders. And so they brought him up before trial. And in verse 6, it says, and Ananias, the high priest, and Caiaphas, and John, and Alexander, and as many as were the kindred of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, "By what power or by what name have you done this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said to them, "Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to this impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto y'all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the cornerstone. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved." Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. You see that, church? Notice, they're being examined for the guy getting healed. And when they begin to question about how it happened, where the power comes from, notice number one, that they didn't take any credit for it. They gave God all the credit. We need to always make sure that we're teaching our children and that we know that everything we have is because of God. God gave us. That's why I like it when we make sure that we don't lie to our kids during Christmas and say, "Santa Claus brought this to you." We tell them, "God blessed us so we can bless you. God's been good to our family, and so we're going to do a representation. Now, if we give you a gift, remember that the wise men gave Jesus Christ the baby a gift. And so we're giving you a gift. You're our baby, and we love you and want you to know God's been good to us." Come on. Let God get the glory. That's what he did. He gave God the glory. Now, notice too, though, that he also witnessed that there was only one way to heaven, through and by the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, you and I need to be witnessing all the time, not only to our kids, but everyone we're around, that Jesus is the only way to heaven. He is the only way to heaven. That's it. You must be born again. You must believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he came to this earth, died on a cross, was placed on the tomb, in the tomb, and on the third day rose again. You got to believe that. That is the way of salvation, through and by believing on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then, after all this is done, notice that they acknowledged that they had been with Jesus. You know, if you're putting God first, people will acknowledge that you're a godly person. Amen. They see it in your actions. They see it in your lifestyle. Right? Come on now. People see you get up on Sunday morning and go to church. They see you work all day on Wednesday, have to hurry up and run home and just throw some things on and run back out to church on Wednesday night. They see you do these things. And they know that you love God and you're putting God first. What do you think they know if you don't get out of bed on Sunday morning and don't go to church? What's that showing them? What's it showing them if you stay home and you're mowing yards and doing all these things on Wednesday night? I'm just asking, you know, I mean, yeah, we're talking about we love God and God is, I mean, most people, if you got them to get up, they'd stand up and say, "I just want everybody to know I love the Lord and I just don't know what in the world I'd ever do without Him." But you do without Him Sunday mornings. You do without Him Wednesday nights. Come on now. Far be it to miss a ball game. I know that makes people mad. Far be it to miss a ball game. Set out in the open air, in the cold, no padded seats, or in the heat, no air conditioning, and watch somebody else play a game that you can't take part of. Come on now, right? See, you're looking at me funny. I know how big sports are, but I also know how addicted people are to sports. What if we could just get them that addicted to Jesus? Come on. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it. I'm just saying priorities. Put God first. We would never miss a Friday night playoff. But would we miss a Friday night revival? Because we know maybe he's coming on Saturday. What are we teaching our kids? What example and witness are we showing people when we say we love God? We're children of God. We're Christians. We're on our way to heaven. What are they seeing in us? It's important because Jesus said that you and I are to be a light to the lost and dying world. And the way we're the light is with our lifestyle and the way we live.